The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Before beginning the Tuesday, June 8th RotoWire podcast, I'd like to thank our sponsor, WynnBET. W-Y-N-N-B-E-T, WynnBET.
We are live, so it says. This is Todd Zola here with the Z Team. Todd Zola with Fred Zinke. Pinch hitting for Jeff Erickson on a well, I can remember to look at the camera. Well-deserved vacation. Jeff is off with the family. And pinch hitting on the regular Tuesday pod, talking to old friend and colleague Fred Zinke. Fred, how are we today?
I'm good, Todd. I don't think I've ever done a podcast before where I'm first in alphabetical order. I don't think that's ever happened for me before. Have you ever done a podcast where you're first in alphabetical order?
Not that I can recall. When I went to, it was middle school.
Yeah.
I was in class with someone whose last name began ZYZ.
Okay.
So for a couple years, I wasn't the last person, but it was pretty close. ZYZ, man, that's unless there's a double Z out there. Poor kid. He was a good guy too.
You're never gonna beat that. I remember Shane Zwicker from my kindergarten class, and then he moved away, and then I was at the bottom of the alphabet. I had a ZW for a year, and then he moved away, and then I was at the bottom all through school after that. But a ZYZ, like you're always going to be last.
Yeah, phone book, whatever it is. Yeah, you are last. All right, so last. Hopefully, it won't be the last time we speak. We spoke a little bit. We saw each other a little bit this time last year. We were doing the retro drafts. You did a couple of those.
Yeah.
So we've had a little bit of contact since this all began.
Yeah.
but things are coming out now, right? We'll hopefully see each other next March for Tell Wars.
I hope so. I mean, we're in the same Tell Wars league, so we see each other at least online, but we're kind of focused at that time. So we see each other online at that point, but things are coming way open in America and Canada, not so much, but hopefully soon we're getting there.
Well, it's a good sign. They opened it up for the hockey. I'm now a bandwagon hockey fan.
Okay.
But enough of that. Let's talk some fantasy baseball. We had another debut last night, Monday night, right? Jackson Cower came up with some pretty good credentials.
Yeah.
Did not do so well. You know, did you catch the start?
I watched it on the replay. Not so good. And this is just another one, like in a long line, I feel like, of this year of disappointing debuts. Other than the Alek Manoah debut, like we've seen some like okay debuts, Gutierrez on the Reds, things like that, but what was it, Lynch earlier from the Royals, Kalnick's already back in the minors, Logan Gilbert is starting to get going but took a while. We are not seeing impressive debuts when for these hype prospects. Not that Cower is that hyped of a prospect, but
I think he is
like enough of one. Like, I mean, right. I don't think he's on like the Logan Gilbert level, maybe at this point, but maybe, I don't know, maybe he is to some people, or the Kelnick level or something like that. But yeah, we're not seeing. So first of all, I guess just with Cower, like, is this enough to make you, I guess he'll probably have another start. Well, I don't know. Maybe he won't have another start this week. He might have another start this week. So before you had to bid on him on a Sunday, you'll have a little more to go on. If he was sitting out there in a league with a waiver wire, would you pick him up, or was that enough to say, forget it?
To me, it was the yips, right? Yeah. Just lack of control, lack of command his first time out. And not that Gilbert is a command and control guy. So that was a little more disappointing to see. Actually, with Gilbert, he was just too middle. It wasn't, he was wild. He was just too afraid not to throw a strike and got hit. He needed to learn to trust his stuff, work the edges, etc. I don't know. I'm a little bit skeptical about the young pitchers to begin with. Even Alek Manoah, I put in some, you know, play it safe bids. I had him on some farm teams coming in to the season, so I've got some exposure, if you will. But I'm a little bit reticent. I'd rather dance with the devil I know, even if it's somebody not all that good. I don't know, Brad Keller. I know what I'm going to get. I know when I can stream him, other than the first four starts of the year. But you know, it's more of a play it safe way to go about it than to trust the rookies. And I tweeted something out earlier, and I shared it with you so you could maybe think about it. But remember, you know, last year there wasn't a Triple A or Double A season. There were some prospects at the alternate site. I'm wondering if we're seeing some inflated, what has been about a month of farm ball. I'm wondering if we're seeing some inflated numbers, because the top is just further separated from the middle, because they just natural talent is taking over, because the quality of play just can't be as good when you had the year off. So I'm wondering if we're seeing even more unreasonable expectations from some of these stars. That's what we're saying, all these disappointments. I wonder if it's part of it is, they maybe weren't as good as we thought they were because of inflated numbers.
It's quite possible. It's also possible that these guys, their talent lets them get through in AAA, but the fact that they didn't pitch last year, maybe, or hit in Kelnick's case, catches up with them when they're in the majors. So like, maybe they're not as sharp.
Right.
They're not as, you know, diverse in what they're able to do because of the lack of a major league season, but maybe in AAA, like you said, just the talent takes over. So they just go out and do their thing and they can dominate the competition. But when it comes to really getting competitive, really getting into your bag of tricks, really, you know, having to dig deep, maybe they don't have enough practice doing that since it's been so long since 2019 and they've had so few opportunities to do that. I don't know. I think this is definitely, though, quickly emerging as a year to stay away from players, not stay away from players that are getting called up, but at least, put in small bids, price and force. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with grabbing them, but don't count on them. And I don't know what to do with Kelnick now, but I have him on some teams and I was a lot more optimistic than what we've seen so far. I still have a little bit of optimism. I have some Manoah. We'll see how that turns out in the next few weeks. I might get burned on all these guys, but this looks like it's not going to be a good year for rookies, or at least maybe not a good first half. Maybe by August, some of these guys will have rounded in their most competitive form.
Yeah, good point. Right now, Alex Kirilloff and Trevor Larnach are treading water maybe with the Twins, right? They're not bad enough to be sent down, but they're certainly not crushing things. And the Twins are showing some patience with both. Mm-hmm. And they both improved. Kirilloff's kind of taken a step back, but he's in the process, I think, of getting it back together again. Adjustment, readjustment, right? That whole narrative there. And Larnach didn't really ever take off, but he doesn't look completely overmatched. So those are the two guys right now. But like you're saying, slow, you know, don't look elsewhere for your majority of your production. Those guys are nice filling parts at this point, I would think.
Yeah. We're just not seeing so far. We're not seeing the rookies like who are really making an impact. Like you said, like you've got some guys who are treading water. You know, even if Kelnick comes back and has a little power and a little speed, but hits 240, like he's not at that point, like he's around and he's maybe helping a bit, but he's not the impact guy that you thought he was. We'll see where Logan Gilbert and Manoah go. And then I also feel like this year, the list isn't deep. Like we're not talking about, like, we're not hearing people talk about a lot of prospects who they think are on the verge and they're really excited about. We've been waiting for a long time. That list just isn't there. Then I also started thinking, if we're not spending our fab on rookies, I also feel like this year there haven't been like huge fab, like $1,000 was spent on the Blue Jays bullpen. I joked with Jeff earlier in about May that between Romero at some leagues that drafted early, and then Merriweather, and then Dolis, and now we're back to Romero, like about $1,000 in some leagues of fab has been spent on the Blue Jays bullpen. But in general, we're not seeing massive amounts of fab being spent on some of these closers because we haven't had that where like Liam Hendricks goes down and then everybody's racing out for Aaron Bummer because he's actually on waivers or, mm-hmm. or something like that. Like we see a lot of bullpens, like everybody's nickel and diming here, the Reds guy this week or a Diamondbacks guy or whatever, but it's like $50, $70, $20, whatever. So where are you spending your fab this year? If you're not going to spend it on rookies, if the closer hasn't emerged, you know, that's an interesting question, I think, is where do you spend your fab this year? Do you wait for a silly drop in one of your leagues, a guy who gets dropped and you're like, oh, he should have never been dropped. I'm going 300 on him. I don't know. It's interesting. You make some good fab pickups this year for not much money. It's hard to figure out who's going to be your $200 or $300 bid, or maybe you'll never have one.
Yeah, don't forget Tyler Chatwood with the Toronto, says the guy who went on the Tyler Chatwood bandwagon. Yeah, you heard about my faux pas with Jordan Romano when I bid on Sal Romano. And well, that was in the RotoWire online, so I'm down in fab there. But I think you're right. And you kind of alluded to it, and I think you pretty much said it. But the reason being, we're not willing to spend a whole lot on these secondary and tertiary closers because we don't think they'll have the job longer. They won't give us that many saves, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so we're not willing to invest in them, and the big guy hasn't gone down yet. There hasn't been a need to spend, you know, we don't need as much as saves. Now where we're spending, I mean, I think we're talking more in the mixed leagues, the only leagues, it's what are you spending it on? I mean, there's just nothing there.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about how we go about that. Someone like Patrick Wisdom, who just, you know, got lucky, right? In a mixed league. Well, we can kind of bridge into this. In a mixed league, you're a little hesitant to pick up Patrick Wisdom when he hits a couple homers during a week, but in NL only, he's playing. Yeah, so you're not riding a streak. You're picking up someone with a pulse. But at some point, when does Patrick Wisdom become that? Well, may as well ride the streak, see what happens, and bid the $300, or doesn't he?
I know that's the tough part. I mean, on Wisdom in a lot of my leagues, I price enforced in those NFBC type formats. I bid, you know, where I could have used them, maybe $40, where I didn't really need them, I bid 20 or something like that, just to make sure that whoever got them spent a little bit on them, didn't get them for two or something like that. But yeah, we haven't, it's interesting. Like what you can wait till the trade deadline and hope that maybe some people emerge and you can use your fab on them. Although I think in good leagues, even mixed leagues, in advance of the trade deadline, you'll see players coming off the board in July. Like in advance of the trade deadline, you're going to see, you know, in good leagues, you'll see people saying, oh, Ian Kennedy might get traded. Let's pick up a setup man. Who else could be? Stephen Crichton might get traded. Let's pick up a setup man. Yimmy Garcia might get traded. Let's pick up a setup man. So, I mean, picking up Wisdom is a smart move right now, but not at the expense of 200 of your fab dollars.
Right. Yeah. I think it's just a lack of wisdom to overexpend at that point. I mean, so I get him in NL Tout Wars. It's not helping me. It may help me eventually get to the 60 point limit so I don't lose fab next year, but we will see what happens as far as that goes. But in general, in a mixed league, you know, not so much, you know, chasing a guy like Wisdom, but how do you decide to chase a streak, or do you decide to chase a streak? You know, some of those, not so much a numbers guy, but just someone who understands that players are going to get hot and then water finds its level. I have a hard time bidding on the hot player. I'd rather bid on the player I feel is going to get playing time for the next month, and he'll have his hot week during that time. But obviously I lose out on some of these guys that, Texas, Adolis Garcia, Okay, I'll lose out on Adolis Garcia. I thought I was being wise, but it turned out I was being foolhardy. But is there, what's your kind of process, or what do you think about when you're going to fill in hole? I need a guy. My outfielder's gone. I need a guy this week. Do you get the hot guy? Do you go for at bats? What do you go for?
Yeah, I think it depends. I think you have to look at your team. Like you said, I need a guy for this week. Then you're probably, maybe you go for the hot guy, but you don't spend a lot, but you try to get, you maybe put him at the top of your queue. A good example in one of my NFBC leagues, I just was weak and things had just kind of fallen apart in corner infield, like all through, not just the corner infield, like first, third and corner infield. Right. None of them were really that good. And Jonathan Scope was on waivers. So he had been dropped and off to a slow start in the season, but he had started heating up. So I spent a little bit there, and so far so good. Now, is Jonathan Scope going to stay hot? No, probably not, but I'll ride the hot streak as long as I can. But like you said, like with Garcia, like that's a great example. If you didn't get in quickly, he was hot. If you didn't get in quickly on him, you didn't get him. And he's been, you know, maybe the best waiver wire gem so far this season, and may prove to be all the way through. With Garcia, I think one of the things you have to look at, like you were mentioning with Wisdom, is the playing time there. Like, as long as he continues to hit, and I don't mean hit at like a ridiculous, like, oh, he's going to have, if he hits 400, they'll keep playing him. Well, every team's going to keep playing someone who's hitting 400, no matter what, they'll carve out a way. But when he has a week where he hits 240, then will they keep playing him? With Garcia, the answer for that was probably, because Texas doesn't have a lot in their lineup. They don't have a lot in their outfield. You know, so that it's looking around and saying, you know, if you were, I actually have some Chaz McCormick because he was filling in for Michael Brantley. Well, you know, Brantley's coming back, and you know, when Brantley comes back, he's going to play. And you know, Kyle Tucker's going to play, and you know, Yordan Alvarez is going to play. That leaves center field, where Miles Straw is not hitting well, is the only spot Chaz McCormick could fill in. So I bet about $2 when I grabbed him, because I'm pretty sure once Michael Brantley comes back, which is today,
right,
that Chaz McCormick will become a fourth outfielder, part-time player. You know, there wasn't really much path there for him to have regular playing time in the long term. So I think looking at what are the chances this player can actually hold playing time? Like, is he replacing someone who's out for 3 months, or is he replacing someone who's out for 2 weeks? And if he is replacing someone who's out for 2 weeks, I think then you have to be pretty tentative on your bidding.
I agree. And I'm willing to miss out on Adolis Garcia for someone a little bit safer. I don't have a name that I, you know, I'll get this guy instead of that guy. Sure. What I did, but I, you know, maybe it's to a fault, but I'm willing to miss out on a player. And I'm kind of with you short term. If I know my player is going to be back, or I think my player is going to be back. And thankfully with minor leaguers, we have a little more information now with rehab assignments. We have a better feel for when players are coming back. I'll look at matchups. I'll look at six games versus seven, lefty, righty, that sort of thing, and try to maximize my efficiency for that 1 or 2 weeks. Otherwise, it's like you're saying, you try to figure, you know, the time. Jake Lamb is playing now because he's hitting well. As soon as he stops hitting well, Jake Lamb will not be playing very much. So he's, you know, and not history, well, history, but studies show streaks can be snapped at a moment. So they're very unpredictable. I don't mind looking at strikeout rates during streaks, because I feel if a player is hitting well and not striking out, there's something to hang your hat on, right? It's not just a BABIP thing. Mm-hmm. But who is it? Tyler O'Neill. He's just, everything he hits is out of the park, but he's still striking out 40% of the time right now. So he's a guy to be careful about as far as all that goes.
That's right. The strikeout rate's huge. I find the walk rate's not as much when they're on a heater, because once they're on a heater, they might not be so patient, because everything's and I get it. That's just human nature. So, but the strikeout rate, like you said, and just looking at basically their BABIP and their strikeout rate, and then look at beyond that. One of the interesting things with Adolis Garcia is if you looked at his 2019 stats in AAA, they were quite good. So then you were like, okay, well, maybe. You know, maybe he was really something. Maybe he would have been something last year if there had been a AAA season and he could have maybe worked there for a while. I don't know. But I think the other thing is if you're grabbing these guys early in the hot streak and cheap, then when the hot streak runs out, you can just throw them right back. And, you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. You grab Garcia for $25. He got ice cold. And you just throw him back. And you're like, whatever, I lost 25 out of my 1,000. You know, the opposite case is Akil Baddoo, right? That people grab for 150, 120, And then a couple weeks later, when the blooms come off the rose, now you've wasted all that. If you were able to get some of those guys at the outset of the hot streak quickly, was just starting to heat up, I'll take him for 20, 30. Well, now if he cools off or the playing time disappears, you just release him and there's no loss to it. It has to hurt to release Bedu because you spent so much. If I have to release Manoah at some point this season, that'll really suck.
Right. So it's as if you get the good week, you leave him in there, then you get the bad week before you know to release him. Mm-hmm. It evens out to something in the middle, but you paid $100 for something in the middle, whereas someone else who just paid $20 for something in the middle got the middle for 2 weeks, got what is expected. So it's you get the same production possibly for less fab. However, you also run the risk of not having it be Bedu, having it be Garcia, right? And getting someone for the season. But that's just one's risk aversion, one's philosophy. The league format is in an all overall type MFBC competition. You know, there's all sorts of things. And to me, that is a weakness of my personal game, is I'm less likely to take chances of that nature. But that's I need the perfect storm to do well. And I don't think that's the right way to approach it.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions. And now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
These times.
Now, okay, so this is interesting. I was actually talking to Jeff Zimmerman about this, not that specific thing, but so you said this is a weakness in my game, and I'm always trying to figure out what are my weaknesses in my game, and then I almost like go through them in my head. So for example, I felt like for years I did not give enough credit to the aging curve. So I'd be too high on 37-year-olds, 36-year-olds, things like that, as far as their durability and skills. Right. So when I would be doing my projections during the season, and I get to those Nelson Cruz types, which would always burn me because he's the outlier. But honestly, if you miss out on Nelson Cruz, but you miss out on all the other guys who fail at that age, it's overall a net win. Yep. So when I would be ranking players, I would be like, calm down, Fred, calm down. He's 37. Right? Like, don't get carried away with these projections. He's probably going to be a little bit worse next year.
Yeah.
Don't expect him to play 145 games. Do you ever find yourself just knowing, because I'm always trying to figure out what are those weaknesses? And then, so do you ever find yourself when you're doing your fab bids on Sunday being like, come on, Todd, you got to live a little, bid on some of these hot streaks, go for it, put a few extra dollars on this guy. Don't be too tentative, because if you feel like that's maybe, or are you just like, this is just who I am?
I am aggressive early. In mixed leagues. I just bid $417 on Sal Romano. I mean, meant to be gorgeous. I feel as though later in the season I can be more efficient with my bids, mm-hmm. and make up for, you know, and get do okay with lesser numbers. Mm-hmm. This is sort of my MO is to get the phone ringing during podcasts. So you are not a missed or an exception to the running joke. Who's going to call Zola during a podcast? And the thing is, one of my phone rings, the other doesn't. I just found the phone that rings today and charged it, or else this wouldn't have happened.
Okay.
I don't know about you, but I only find things that I'm looking for something else.
Okay.
And I need to get my license renewed. So I need my birth certificate to do it online. So I was looking all over for my birth certificate. And I found my old phone. But anyway,
there you go.
Just the way.
Did you find your birth certificate?
No. Okay. So I still. But I also found that I don't need the special fly license for another 2 years. So I'm not quite as
okay
eager, if you will, But okay. Yeah,
it'll be when you lose your phone. You'll be looking for your phone, and then you'll find your birth
certificate. Yeah, I mean, it's a bit. If I didn't lose my wallet so much, I also clean the place up when I lose things.
Okay. Yeah.
So I mean, you know, that's so people. You should put your wallet in the same place. You'll never lose it. Well, then I'll never clean my place up either.
Right.
So right. Yeah, it's just the way it goes. But anyway, now what were we talking about? Fab bidding and
yeah, like yeah, do you ever try yourself pushing yourself? So you said you bid a lot early.
Yeah.
Including on Sal Romano, but sometimes even on players who you actually want. So you're okay with just kind of emptying a good amount in the first, say, 6 weeks or something.
Yeah, 2 months. If there's a guy that I want, I'm going to get him. He's mine.
Right. Right.
He overbid. Well, I think everybody else underbid.
Right.
So, you know, but you know, funny. You know, I'll tell me in October if I overbid. But I'm still hesitant to take a big chance on some of these Adolis Garcia types. Right. You know, I know I can look at Statcast and figure things out. So I think I've got Garcia in an AL only, like I said, because he's breathing and I'm on a team with Derek Van Riper and I enjoy teaming up with DVR just because it's fun to team up with DVR, but he's more of a risk taker. So he puts the list of players down and, you know, they're the high roll, high risk, high reward. And then he'll say, is there anybody else? And I say, you know what? Let's add Josh Reddick to that list. Boring old Josh Reddick, right?
Right.
So we'll put him on at the end, you know? Whereas, you know, so I get, you know, if all of his chances, you know, don't come through, at least I get boring old Josh Reddick. Something like that. So I have other things in my game that I'm not happy with, and we'll see what happens next year during our salary cap drafts, because I think I need to approach, you know, spoiler alert, change my approach there, but we'll see what happens. But interesting weekend for Fab. I don't know, I didn't find a whole lot out there this past weekend for Fab. When there's not a whole lot out there, I mean, we can talk about who we got, but I mean, when there's I pretty much know the answer to this. You don't look at this guy, nothing out there, and just move on to the next project. I think we both probably try to use this to our advantage that there doesn't seem to be a lot out there, right?
My Fab bids, I felt like this week took forever because it's easy to just be like, oh, I want Alek Manoah, $350, done. That doesn't take very long. And I'll throw in a bunch of guys behind him, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to win him. This week, I had a lot of players to drop, which is not a good thing, but I had Eliezer Hernandez in basically every league. So he could go. I had Cody Poteet in a lot of leagues. He could go because those two Marlins pitchers were hurt. Anyways, I'm beyond those two. I had a couple other, you know, streamers and things like that. Most of my teams, I had room to add three or four players, but it was finding players who you wanted to add, you know, and like Eliezer needed to go. Like, I'm not holding him till August or something for his next start. He needed to go. So I needed a deep, big group for him. So this week I felt like my Fab bids took forever. And in the end, I ended up grabbing some pitchers who either showed something interesting last week and I'm talking like sub $10, something interesting last week, a little bit of Patrick Sandoval, a little Caleb Smith, or someone maybe who had a decent schedule coming up. I grabbed Brad Keller in a league. I don't think Brad, like you said, it was funny that you mentioned him earlier. Like, you know what you're going to get from Brad. Outside of those first few starts of the season, you know what you're going to get from Brad Keller. He happens to have an okay matchup this week and a two-start week next week. So I grabbed him. We'll see if he's still on the roster in a couple weeks. But it took forever to do my bids this week, I found, because there weren't, on hitters or pitchers, there wasn't a lot that I wanted to bid a lot on. But at the same time, that's when you really have to try really hard and start really looking deep and looking at injured players or, you know, maybe someone who's debuting this week. It wasn't easy this week.
See, what I like to do, and I think you kind of did that, you alluded to the same sort of thing. If there's no one everybody's targeting, I like to try to look ahead and put a $1, $2, or $3 bid on someone who I may drop next week because I may be wrong. But what's $1, $2, or $3?
Yeah.
Bradley Zimmer was someone that, you know, he didn't go nuts this week, but let's get him the week before he steals four bases. Right. I don't think people are on Zimmer and Jonathan India was someone who's been dropped. I was able to pick him up in a few leagues. Yeah, I've got, well, actually, a couple of these I had Colton Wong hurt, so I needed him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've got, what, Cesar Hernandez, something in the middle of the line, Jonathan Scope, who you mentioned. Mm-hmm. All right, so actually now I have to think which one I'm going to use because there's no obvious answer. But he's a useful player, second base, third base eligibility. But it's not like he went out there and crushed it. But what he does have another good week. So that's what I try to do is find players that you can, you know, you spend a couple of $3. And if you have to drop them because you need someone else at a different position next week, you're not going to lose a league because you have three fewer dollars in September.
No,
you may. That's what I. And Paul Fry. I mean, no one was all over Paul Fry, but I'd gotten my 8 saves from Cesar Valdez, so I was happy to get. I'll get 3 from Paul Fry, if you will. Mm-hmm. You mentioned in the future, DeMarcus Evans is someone. Throw a buck on him.
Sure.
Yep. Kennedy gets traded. You may have a closer. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you're willing to hold them. Right. And what else you can do if you just really don't find anyone who you want to pick up in fab is you can just grab a good setup man for a dollar and just maybe this is the week that he comes in. Like maybe this is the week that Aroldis Chapman, Liam Hendricks, Josh Hader, one of these guys gets hurt. And maybe you have a closer. You grab, I don't know if Chad Green and for sure be their closer anymore in that circumstance, but you know what I mean? Like you can always just do something like that where you just grab a good setup man for a week, just see if you strike gold. If you don't strike gold, release him next week if there's someone you like.
Yeah, automatically, you know, it's 7 games this week. So you pick him up because the Red Sox have 7 games. Half the league has 5. You lucked in with save Monday night. Of course, I ended up dropping Ottavino to pick up Paul Fry, but that's just why. That's just the way my season's gone.
I think that was still a worthy.
You're right. What Derek Hardy process over outcome, right?
Yeah,
you got to, at some point you got to start questioning why all your outcomes are wrong, but still, it's a major, still a matter of process over outcome. We had a few questions on Twitter about some disappointing players. I know that we wanted to talk about Manny Machado. So let's talk a little about Manny Machado, and we can bring up some of the players on Twitter as well. I've seen, because I enjoyed listening to Don Arcillo's calling a game with the Padres, I've seen a lot of Machado this year, and it's like I didn't even realize he was doing that bad or poorly. Just doesn't look it.
But yeah, you're right. Yeah, he's one of those guys who like he hasn't bottomed out where you're like, I can't even use Manny Machado. He's fine. He's got 6 deals, which is helping him, but he hasn't been, especially from a power perspective, he hasn't been the Manny Machado that we were expecting this year. Actually, from a batting perspective either, he hasn't been the Manny Machado that we've been expecting this season.
Right. And I think some of it is he had such a great year last year. Okay, he's back to where he was. You know, he's back to the Baltimore Manny Machado. And now I know it's a little, you know, granular and nerdy and people don't like to think along these lines, but he out-hit his ballpark last year. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what's happening this year is he's hitting the way he's supposed to, but the ballpark's keeping him in the yard. His underlying numbers, average exit velocity is a career best. Now, I believe in component exit velocity, and I'm going to try to look up his fly ball exit velocity as we're talking, because to me, that's where, as far my studies have shown, average exit velocity on grounders and line drives don't correlate very well to batting average, which is what we care about. But for power, it's everything. So it may be that he's not hitting the falls as hard. But in general, I think that he's a guy, if people are concerned, I want to trade. The underlying numbers are just too strong, I think, anyway, to worry about Machado. But keeping in mind that last year, you can't just prorate last year. He out hit his park last year, and we need to, you know, take a dial it back just a little bit. And so average egg velocity on fly ball is 95.8, which is just sick. He's the power will come with Manny Machado.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, this isn't the best park for him, but when you look at someone who's so consistent from a power perspective, like 2, 4, 5 years in a row with 32 homers or more. And I know most of those years were with Baltimore, but still 5 in a row. And he's still young enough that he's still in his prime. He would have easily been over the 30 homer mark last year, even if he had cooled off, like he already had 16 in 60 games. So, you know, and he's so durable, which is one of the great things about Machado. But yeah, his BABIP's down a bit. Like, this is the lowest BABIP of his career so far. That hurts his batting average a bit. His strikeout rate's up a little bit. So yeah, I think he's not last year's Manny Machado, but instead of the 239 hitter he is right now, he's probably a 270 hitter or something in that range. And I know his XBA is a little below that, but I think he could get going and maybe be like 265, 270 hitter going forward with plenty of power and a fair share of steals because Padres run. So, and that's a big deal. Like the six steals, which is the same, almost we've hit the point this season where most players have played a similar amount of games to what they played last year. And so it's interesting to look at those two totals now. And he got six last year. He's got six so far this year. So he's really profiling as someone who can easily steal you 15 bases in a season. So that's a big deal. So I think he's someone, yeah, who could be in trading leagues, maybe a little undervalued. It's hard to say because somebody took him in probably round two, maybe early round three. So they valued him a lot at the outset. So it just depends if that person's gotten frustrated with him or not. If they have, then there could be a buying opportunity there.
Right. So you said 16 homers in 60. So that's what, 3,220. So, I mean, I think that, you know, in the high 30s, low 40s is high when he's hitting 33, 34 in Camden Yards. So that's where I was, you know, the point I was making where let's expect 30 home runs in Petco Park. Of course, you could always go over. You can always go under. But I think that that's what the expectation. Speaking of third baseman, we were asked on Twitter, and you guys see me wiping away the sweat. And as I tweeted out, whenever I wipe away the sweat, that's my secret way of saying thanks for listening. In a 90-degree weather, if I put the fan on, all Fred would hear, he'd think there'd be cicadas in the background. So I will be. You don't get cicadas in your neck of the woods, do you?
No, we do not.
Yeah, they don't like to cross the border. So okay. I'm not getting them here in New England. It's just I hear about it. You know, friends are telling me about it, and you know, call someone up and you hear in the background, you know. But anyway, so Anthony Rendon, I did a little work. Did you have any thoughts on what's going on with Anthony Rendon?
Yeah, I don't know if Anthony Rendon's been healthy this season. That's something that I kind of wonder. Okay. Like, we're looking at so I have zero Rendon shares, so I haven't followed him closely except just kind of researching him for today's episode. But I wonder if he hasn't really been healthy this season. Like, I look at, like, over on his Fangraphs page, like, now it depends which, if you use his StatCast hard hit rate or his Fangraphs hard hit rate, but his Fangraphs hard hit rate is down a lot this season. If you go to his StatCast numbers, his XBA is down a lot. His XWOBA is down a lot. His XSLUG, obviously, therefore, is down a lot. The strikeout, the walk rate, like, not terrible. Like they're maybe not his best, but they're not terrible. But it seems like when he's making contact this season, he's not making the best contact that he's made in his career. What do you see with him?
Actually, I'm gonna make sure I'm looking at the right page before I talk about what I wanted to talk about. To me, I don't know about the health. And actually, you know what? The irony is I'll stick with Rendon. Again, getting granular here. Batting average, component batting average and balls in play. On ground balls, past 5 years, it's been 281. This year, it's 190. And the exit velocity is the same. Things are pretty much the same. So whether it is – it's not always shifting. Mm-hmm. It's defensive – could be just defensive positioning. Mm-hmm. It could be hurting him in that regard. He's not getting the ground ball base hits that he normally gets. And the other thing with Rendon, and again, you know, sometimes I try to be the smartest guy in the room and it works, and other times it doesn't work out as well. He hits fly ball. I mean, this sounds dumb. He hits fly balls higher. His launch angle in fly balls is higher than average, which means that he just hits more with a higher launch angle. And with the ball getting the wind resistance with the higher seams, knocking down the fly balls, it could just be that his power is a little bit affected because he doesn't hit the screaming line drives that we see of Vlad Guerrero Jr. or someone like that. The more majestic fly balls that Rendon hits, they're losing carry. His fly ball average fly ball distance is down 20 or 10 to 15 feet from previous seasons. which in his park is huge. If he's a lefty hitter, it's good for home runs, Angel Stadium, but not so much for righties. So between some hitting into some bad luck on ground balls mm-hmm. and the ball itself hindering his type of power, because his exit velocity on fly balls is it's higher than it was last year, but not as high as it was with Washington. I think he's just maybe we need to lower power expectations, but expect a batting average bounce back.
Yeah, lower power expectations is something I wanted to mention too. So I've rarely had Rendon on my teams, once in a while, but rarely. And one of the reasons, and this is over his whole career, is I've always seen Rendon as kind of like a 20, maybe 25 homer hitter, but a good all around player, a better real baseball player mm-hmm. than a fantasy player. And that's how I've always viewed him. And there's nothing wrong with that at all, because they don't really play for us. They play for their teams. He had the 1 year with the 34 homers 2 years ago. And I feel like maybe some people are clinging to that a little bit and expecting that. But I mean, if you look at all of his seasons outside of that contract year, it's basically 20 to 25 homers. Take last year, right? Nine, and you can trip in his 52 games, you triple that or almost triple it. And here we are again, 20 to 25 right. homers. So the power's down.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sure, down. Like, he's on pace, but he's only played in 39 games. But still, he's more of like a 12-homer guy so far. But I think he could go back to being a 20-homer guy, 22-homer guy, something like that. But I think we have to stop thinking of Rendon as this potential fantasy superstar. Like, that was one season where everything clicked. I don't know if it was because it was a contract year. I'm not going to bother getting into that. But
there's another reason. It was the ball year.
Right. Yes. And yes. And maybe he's someone who really, like, really with his power skills, as you were discussing and detailing, like, maybe that ball really helped him go it from the 25 to 35 or 20.
Based on fly ball distance, our friend Mike Podhorzer from Fangraphs study that shows it's not home runs don't correlate to home run distance. They correlate very well to fly ball distance. That it jumped up 16 feet that year. He just was somebody who he was on that borderline of, if I get a few more feet, my power can go up. Yep. But if you lose a couple of feet, your power can go down. And he's just in that range. And this year, excuse me, I think he's being hurt just a little bit more. And I agree that he's a very, very, he's kind of the guy that I like, that, you know, I'd like this even in the third round, I want the steady guy over the upside guy. And that's why, you know, when teams that win, everybody comes through. I don't get a whole lot of you know, outlying performances, but, you know, different strokes for different folks. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I would hang tight with Rendon. If you can acquire him, I should look up the Twitter guy that sent us the note on Rendon. I think that hang tight, better days are ahead.
Like any good team, hiring the right employees for your front office is just as important as recruiting the best players for the game. That's why you need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications, and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
You also got a couple, an inquiry on, you know, Louis Castillo, the weekly Louis Castillo question, and Adalberto Mondesi. I'll let you, you know, get him real quick because my answers are real simple, and maybe you can elaborate if you have something. I don't know what to do with Castillo anymore. I thought I figured it out. Nope, that wasn't it. It's this. Nope, that doesn't it. He's got to be better. Whatever narrative, he's got to be better than he is. And he's maybe a little better, but he's not Louis Castillo. So I'm at a loss. And he was somebody that I jumped up towards the end because I thought he was a pitcher who could benefit with the reduced flight ball as it was supposed to be coming into the season. But he hasn't even gotten to the point where fewer homers help. And real quick with Mondesi, I don't think there's much to say. When he's healthy, he's going to be great. We just have to wait for him to be healthy again.
Yeah, for sure. Starting off with Mondesi, yeah, he just hasn't been healthy. I've mentioned on these Tuesday podcasts before that Corey Schwartz used to say to me when he played fantasy baseball that he didn't like taking the Mondesi types where so much of their value was tied into the steals. And Mondesi is for sure not a one-trick pony. Like, he can hit you 15 home runs if he's in a full season, maybe even 20. And his average is average. So he's not a total one-trick pony, but obviously most of his value is tied into the steals. Corey never liked to get into those guys because he just felt like you were putting too many eggs in one basket and one lower body injury, and all of a sudden, poof, there goes a lot of their value. I've never totally agreed with that. I think you could see, for example, the very last player we just discussed with Rendon. If he's not totally healthy, you mentioned with Rendon not the same batting average on grounders. Well, he was on the IL with a knee injury. Like, maybe he's running a little slower. I don't know. I haven't looked it up, but maybe he's running a little slower.
Maybe.
Yeah, a couple steps short on a few of these. And maybe he'll get healthier as we go, and that'll work itself out. But with Mondesi, yeah, when Mondesi comes, it's really frustrating, you know, if you drafted him, and I have him on some teams, but especially if you drafted him with a goal of finishing in the middle of the pack in steals, on the basis of him getting a 50, that's really frustrating. There's just nothing you can do about it. I don't know if there's a takeaway for next year and beyond with Mondesi. I guess there is a little bit on roster construction, and do you want to tie up half or almost half of your expected steals total in one player and his two hamstrings, so, or not? But I honestly think that my takeaway with Mondesi is a little bit is that it's just been unlucky. He's not the only guy who's been like hurt a lot this year, but he's just a really unique skill set, I think. So it draws a lot of attention. I think people will have real takeaways from this, don't you, as to that skill set and whether you should spend a lot on a draft for it?
Oh, for sure. I think it's going to definitely slow the roll, but all it takes is one person who in the NFBC in the overall, Mondesi's the type of guy I need to take it down. I don't agree with that, but this all it takes is 1 out of 15 to push him up. And he got pushed up way up towards the end of the drafting season. He became a wheel pick, I think, in some leagues. And it just, the steals are just that high potential. And I think he was running a bit in spring training, but I do agree, you know, with you know, Corey was a very, very good fantasy player back in the day, as you know, good friend too, Tout Wars, and he still helps me out a lot when I need some stats and some stuff like that. And behind the scenes, he's always been great for that sort of thing. But
now Castillo, what do you want?
Well, I'm done. I don't know. I wish I had the answer, because I would make a lot of people happy. I don't. I don't know.
So he isn't really getting better. Like, when you look at his game log, like, we could say he's getting better because last game he only gave up one run and it was on a solo homer. But at the end of the day, in his last start, he only struck out 5 in 6 innings, which he just had a 125 BABIP in his last start. Like, that's it. Like in other games, he had had high BABIPs in last. So he is getting a little bit of luck correction. I always say with Castillo this year, like if you have absorbed his full ERA, like, that is your fault, because the start at Coors was the disaster and no one in their right mind. I have him in our tout NL league. Like, there's even in an NL, there was no way I was starting him at Coors the way he was going. Like, I don't care if I spent 25 on him at the auction, like, you can't start him. So you didn't get that start, but you still haven't, you've just been getting consistent, like, blah, like consistent, like five innings, three runs. If other than that one start, I don't think he's come around. He is not able this year to put batters away. His strikeout rate is way down. It's 19.5%. It was 30.5% last year. His career is 26.2%. His strikeout rate is way down. For some reason this year, he can't put batters away. His velocity is fine. But then as you go through him a little bit deeper, like, batters are making contact in the strike zone more often than they usually do with his pitches. And this is a big one. They're making contact way more often when they swing at pitches outside of the strike zone. That was 53% last year and 50% the year before. And this year it's 66. So, like, he's not fooling anyone. Even when he's throwing balls and they're swinging at them, they're hitting them at least they're making contact. He just can't put hitters away right now, and until he can do that, he can't be anything near the second round pick that he was in most mixed leagues. That's my takeaway on him. I do think he'll get better with the weather. He can't really get much worse. There's a lot of soft landings in the National League for him to at least be okay, but I mean, his FIP, his xFIP, they're all in the mid four, recently averaged out to the mid fours. His xERA is 4.19. like, maybe he could be those numbers going forward, not the 6.63 ERA. Like I said, if you take the Coors out, you've probably had a high fours or a five ERA from him.
Right.
So not as much of a killer, but I don't know if you see him differently than me, but he's not putting hitters away this year. It's that 10% of strikeouts he's not getting.
All I have, and I talked about it, and it's speculation, is that his bread and butter is a changeup, and we talked about the seams a little earlier. It might just be that his changeup is not as effective with this baseball. I'm not talking grip. That's a whole other story. It's just the maybe it's not, I'm not talking about the sticky stuff, but maybe with the seams, the grip, it just doesn't, his changeup isn't effective. I looked into it, and by the numbers I have, it showed it was ineffective. I mentioned this in a podcast with Clay Link. I emailed our friend Eno Saris, who said by his stuff metrics, it's not where it was either. Wasn't exactly sure why. It's just the changeup isn't the devastating changeup. And as you know, I mean, the thing about the changeup, it's more of the deception, more of the off balance nature than it is just, you know, breaking away from the bat. It's having the hitter off balance. And that this could be why they're hitting more pitches out of the zone. Is they're just not being fooled, and they see it. You know, I'm hitting a fastball. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if the fastball is a couple inches off the plate. The plate's arbitrary. You know, some of these players still can hit a ball a couple inches in or outside, depending upon their swing. So it may just be that they're better able to sit on the fastball. You don't sit on a changeup, but maybe because it's not as effective, if you get a changeup sitting on fastball, maybe you're a bit, you know, even if you just foul it off. Keeping things, and that's one of the things, he's not going deep into games either. So it's what to do though. I mean, I know this sounds kind of, you know, weird, but in order to recover from Luis Castillo's damage, you need second round Luis Castillo. You know, so it's almost like you got to use him. I'm in eighth place now. The only way I'm going to get to second or third or first is with Luis Castillo, but I run the risk of getting a 12th or 13th too. So it's just, how do you want to go about it?
I think you still mostly use him, but you stop thinking of him as your ace or your number two. I think in trading leagues, I think we're almost past the point where you can trade him away on name value. I don't even know if you can get a lot for, like I write a weekly trade article for Yahoo owners. And I, early in the season, you know, I was saying, you know, buy low on them and things like that. I don't think if you wanted to trade away Castillo, again, I'm saying in a good league, like there are some leagues with suckers in them and things like that. But in a good league, I think if you wanted to trade away Castillo and just cut your losses, I don't think you're getting that much for him. Do you?
No, I don't know. Would you? I'm gonna trying to segue into something I know you wanted to talk about here. Would you trade Louis Castillo for Nathan Eovaldi? Oh, I found one. I found one.
I like Eovaldi, so I like Eovaldi, so I think I would. So there's your kind of trade, I guess, is if you're a Castillo owner and you're done, you just don't want to wait anymore, then find a guy maybe around that Eovaldi level and say, you know, but one that you like. And I also think I mentioned this with Jeff last week. I think an easy thing to do, excuse me, and I don't have it in front of me right now, is go and look up the NFBC ADP for the Memorial Leagues. Find your guy you want to trade. Look for pitchers or players who were taken around him. I don't know. I could try to pull up Castillo's ADP for those leagues, but find some pitchers around him. Find one you like. Find one who went a couple rounds later than him who you like, and there's your trade. But other than that, I think you're probably just going to use him, and you're just going to hope that he comes around. But I don't see him snapping into, I guess it's possible, but I don't see him snapping into like peak Luis Castillo, like in the next 2 or 3, 4 weeks. Do you?
Well, that's the thing. You know, someone who does projections, I'll use, you know, Red Sox fan, I'll use JD Martinez as the example. Everybody pretty much middled him, right? They took the bad year and they took the good years, and it came out to something in the middle. But in my head, that's what I did too. But in my head, I'm thinking he's either the really good guy or the really bad guy. He's not in the middle. So if Castillo, if there's something wrong, he'll be fixed and we'll get second round Castillo with the high whip. But that's why he's not first round, because of the high whip. So I think that there is a chance that if it is something we don't know. I mean, if it's the ball, it's not going to happen. If it's the weather, maybe it is. We'll know soon enough, because it's starting to warm up out there, friends.
It is. Yep.
So we'll know soon enough. And there's enough anecdotal evidence that weather's a factor at this point. I mean, not every single cold start stunk and every single warm start was better, but there's enough seasons now where you can't categorically dismiss it as narrative. So a little something there, but alluded to it with Nathan Eovaldi. I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the Red Sox because of I kind of like to talk about the Blue Jays pitching staff, because I'm a little confused. I think we're going to actually the Blue Jays offense. I think we're going to be on the other end of a lot of close contests in the next several years, the way these two teams are shaping up. But I never thought I would say that the Red Sox would have a much better chance if it was Eduardo Rodriguez that would turn things around. You know?
yeah, totally. By the way, while you were segueing, I did look up Luis Castillo's Memorial Day ADP. It's actually way earlier than I thought. It was 134. Now, some of that could be NFBC drafters who feel like they just want to take a shot at winning their league, so they're a little riskier. But you could get Nathan Eovaldi for him, because his ADP was almost 100 picks later. So, but there were some guys. There are guys like Zach Eflin. I would take Zach Eflin over him. Who went a couple rounds after him. Chris Paddock, Dylan Cease went after him, Robbie Ray. I think I'd be open to trading Castillo for one of those guys.
Yeah, his 11th strikeout game is May 18th. Mm. So it may have had a little factor in, because those drafts were kind of just after that. Although on May 23rd, he didn't fare so well. At that point, but even so, but, quickly, you know, talking a little bit about the Red Sox.
Yeah. But let's go with these Red Sox. I'm really interested in your Red Sox rotation, because I don't have Nick Pivetta because he walks too many batters. I bought in briefly to Garrett Richards when he had a couple starts in a row with like one walk, and now I can't get far enough away from him. I'm trying to get rid of him, and I love Eovaldi, and I think Eduardo Rodriguez should have better numbers than he does, and will soon get better. So yeah. What do you think? Am I on track with that rotation? You see them more than I do. What do you think?
I think you're right. Now, the caveat of what I will say is, I think there's tangible changes with Pivetta and with Richards, and even with Martin Perez. The Dave Bush, as a not just on the major league team, but through the healthy organization, there's a quicker pace. I don't mean the actual throwing the pitch, but between pitches, give me the ball, I'm throwing it. And that's just an organizational philosophy. And I think that's helping. So I think the landing for Pivetta and for Richards could be a little softer than the they suck crowd thinks. That's I don't know if that's faint praise. But the other way to combat regression, and the regression should come in the form of home runs. That's there's been some traffic, but they haven't given up a ton of homers. And going back to the whole ball thing, in Fenway, you need to hit the ball high to get it out left. I mean, you don't have to hit it far, but you have to hit it high. So I'm wondering if some of these, you know, Bucky Dent type home runs, maybe a little further than Bucky Dent, are being knocked down a bit, especially with the cold weather. And that's and weather warms up, and you know, if the ball stays the same, maybe homers are down a bit, but homers are going to go up. Specifically with Richards, I think he can reduce the walks a bit. That's the way to combat regression, is improve skills. I am more worried about Pivetta. You know, the Red Sox fans just love Nick Pivetta now. I mean, the non-analytical fans, so I don't really get into discussions with them. But in general, I'm okay. I feel safer with Richards. I can't believe they're in this position. Chris Sale starting to pitch again. We'll see what goes on in the next month or so. I think there's definite regression coming. There's a big series with Houston, and again over the weekend with New York. We'll see what goes on there from a perspective. But I agree. I want Eovaldi. I want Richard. I want Rodriguez. I may cut bait with Pivetta at this point. I'm on Richards. I'm still, maybe I'm cautiously optimistic. His skills combat an improvement in skills combat what I want to say inevitable. I think it is inevitable regression.
Right. Yeah. I can understand that. I think so. I have Richards, I think, still on my labor team, and that's, it's just a little deeper with the unlimited IL. So I haven't, but in my NFBCs, I got rid of him just because the walk rate was driving me nuts. Do you think there's any sort of, with Rodriguez, everything looks like he should have had better results than he's had so far. Do you think there's any sort of fatigue factor with him? It doesn't look like it. Like after him not pitching last season and being ill, like, do you think there's anything there in play that the numbers aren't picking up? I don't think so, but I'm open to all possibilities.
There might be. If you recall, in an era where most managers were five and fly, this is previous to the suspension a couple of years ago, Alex Cora showed Edward Rodriguez a lot of tough love. You're staying out there. You're getting through six. I don't care. I'm willing to. You give up three more runs. It's a learning lesson for you. It's a learning experience. So there was a lot of tough love, and I think that helped Rodriguez. I mean, forget trying to chase 20 wins. That was kind of silly that year. But I think Encore is still showing him some of that, but I do think we need to be wary of he was hurt, not so much hurt last year. He was sick. He was ill.
That's what I mean. And you just worry that now that he's back to being a professional athlete, like could there be any lingering effects there? But that, again, that should be picked up by the numbers. Like his velocity should be down, like something. It should be picked up by the numbers.
Well, it could just be towards the end. He just doesn't have quite the ability to. I haven't checked. Is he getting burned? You know, the fifth inning. You know, getting through four innings clean, and then the fifth inning giving it up, or the sixth inning giving up, where he just may not have it quite have it built up toward the end. And that might not, frankly, that might not even be because he was out. It just might be because he was off for so long, and not really have to do with the health. But I think that Alex Cora has a decent read on that situation. We'll see, but I don't have him in front of me. I remember I put him in there for the rankings this week for the two-star pitchers. He had like a 381 BABIP. And that's not, as you know, I mean, you can't just hand wave it and say that's bad luck. There's also bad pitching. If it's 320, maybe there's some bad luck, right?
Yeah.
When it's 380, there's some bad pitching involved as well.
Yeah.
It's not all bad luck at that. I mean, there could be some, but it's not all bad luck at that. And same with home run per fly ball. When it's 13, maybe he ran into somebody ran into a couple of, you know, wind blowing out. When it's 20 or 22, yeah, it's bad luck, but there's some bad skill there too. There's some meatballs being put up there. So I don't want to say it's been snake bit completely, but I do think he's going to make a bit of a comeback. We're talking a little about the Red Sox. JD Martinez is back. You mentioned Michael Brantley is back in their lineup tonight, so that's a good thing, especially because you may still have an opportunity to get him in your lineups because of the there weren't a lot of Monday games to lock these Tuesday players out, right?
Yeah.
So you could potentially still get some of these guys back in your lineup. Ken and Maeda, we can talk real quick. Are you any optimism all he needs is some rest?
Yeah, a little bit. I have one. I just have him in labor. My labor team's a bit of a disaster. So I have him in labor. Yeah, I'm holding out some hope maybe that he, you know, was trying to pitch through this injury and then, you know, finally, and it was impacting his performance. He finally shut it down. I'm not expecting 2020 Kento Maeda, and I never was when I picked him. I only picked him in the draft because he was falling. He fell really far. And maybe that's a lesson for me to be learned too. But I don't know. Like his ADP at the time, this is in February, but his ADP at the time was probably like 45 to 50, and he fell to pick 75. So I took him. And I felt like at pick 75, he was fair, but he had like a fair value, but he hasn't been obviously anything close to that. So I'm hoping that this break maybe helps him reset because I wasn't expecting 2020 Kento Maeda, but I was expecting maybe someone similar to what we saw with the Dodgers.
Yeah, no, I think a little bit of the central zone was pumped up a little bit last year. I didn't expect this crash, and it sounds like he's hurt. And if he can get better, I do think there is hope for this second half. Mm-hmm. We'll wrap things up. We got one more pitcher debuting this, or another pitcher debuting this week. Sam Long will be called up for the San Francisco Giants are going to call up Sam Long, not a high profile. We were talking about, Gilbert and Logan Gilbert and all the, Daniel Lynch, the guys that have been pitching for the Royals being a little bit higher profile. What are you going to do about when we're both hedging a bit. Are you interested in Sam Long tomorrow night?
So I'm not interested in him tomorrow night. I don't think he'll throw five innings, and that's my concern. You know, if you can't get five innings, then what's the point? A little bit, right? You're not going to get a win. So then you're just going for ratios. I'm not going for ratios with someone who just got called up. But I will say that everything the Giants touch from a starting pitching perspective this year turns to gold. So if he has a good start, and now Aaron Sanchez is on the mend. I think he threw two innings, was supposed to throw two innings last night. So I haven't checked in to see how that went, but you know, he's probably a couple more starts away from coming back, but everything has turned to the Giants touch from a pitching perspective has turned to gold this year. So if Sam Long was effective and if I thought that he could get up to five innings, then I'd be interested for sure. I've definitely got my eye out for Giants starters because I've said this to Jeff on here a couple of times. Like if you could just go back and do your draft and take the whole Giants, start with an ace and a closer or something, and then take the whole Giants pitching staff, you'd be doing great. Like if you had Gossman and Wood and Cueto and right, like you'd be doing great. So for where they were all drafted, other than Gossman, they were all drafted late and they've all been really like quite effective.
Right. I think it has to do with the park.
Yeah.
But the one thing that, well, not the one thing, my spreadsheet falls short in a lot of areas. It can't program mindset. It can't program Kevin Gossman just going, phew, I'm out of Cincinnati. I'm out of Baltimore. I'm out of Atlanta. Three very good hitting parks. Look at this place. No one ever hits in here. So I think that not only is there a direct park factor change, I think there has to be a, you know, just kind of an attitude. I don't mean bad attitude, good attitude, but just it must be nice to look around and have to squint to see that left field fence, mm-hmm. you know, and you carry that over. So I do think there's something to that. And it should bear out in the numbers over time, and we're beginning to see it with Gosman, but I'm with you. He Long is a former starter. I'm sorry, reliever. He's being now converted back. He showed so much in the alternate site that the team, hey, let's because he's been a reliever the past couple of years, primarily throws a 97 mile an hour fastball. He's got a lanky lefty in a curve. He doesn't have a third fine-tuned a third pitch yet. But you know, if you're only going five or six innings and you can throw 97 and you've got a deceptive curve because of that long lanky motion, you know, yeah, I'm interested. I don't play a lot of DFS, and because of the length, I don't know that I would use him tomorrow night unless he was just, you know, dirt cheap. But I am with you. I am looking at him, and I almost hope that he looks okay, but maybe gives up a home run late or something to drive the cost down.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. That would be good. Yes. I said that when Manoah debuted, I was like, he was too good. Six innings, three runs. That would have been a lot better. I could spend $100 less on him, but so yes, you're right. I'm interested to know how many pitches he throws and how deep he goes in the game. That's what obviously I'm interested in the performance too, but I'm interested to see if they treat him like a starter or if he throws three innings.
Yeah, I think he threw around 55 to 60 in his last AAA, I think it's Sacramento. So yeah. What do you bring it up to 70, 75, which if you're really efficient, you can go five innings.
Right.
But
or is this just a stopgap thing where he's going to throw 65 pitches, three innings or three and a third or something. And maybe he makes one or two more of those starts and he's back down to the minors to keep working on things. That's what I'm interested to see is how far they let him go.
Yeah. Is it a 1-0 game? Is it bats coming up in the fourth inning? So they pinch hit for him at that point, et cetera. So
yeah,
it's just another, layer to this season because what's happened already is with these pitchers, as we talked about, it's taking a chance now on someone that we haven't seen before. So I didn't take a chance talking to you though. We could keep going on and on, but my shirt's absorbing too much sweat at this point, which means I'm really saying thank you to people for listening. Thanks to Fred for putting up with the rookie behind the mic, at least running the show. If you guys are actually listening to it, then we must have gotten it done right. We shall. The jury's still out, as they say. But you get anything you're working on, Fred, that you want to let in? Your stuff at Yahoo and stuff you want to let
got a lot of Yahoo on? Stuff. Yeah, I got a lot of Yahoo stuff coming out this week. I gave out some trade targets today. Thursday, a bunch of waiver wire ads. And something's coming out Friday. I haven't figured out what it's going to be yet.
Yeah, it's people don't realize how tough it is to think of things to talk and write about.
Sometimes the easiest articles are the ones that are just a set topic every week. Like if someone just says, give me 10 fab recommendations every week, I find those are the easiest. You're just like, okay, I've got it. Like now start finding my names and then away we go and explain why I picked them and here we go. When it's more like come up with something to write about, then that one's harder to nail down maybe like farther out. And it takes a little brainstorming to figure out, okay, what is my topic going to be?
Especially because there's so much good stuff out there now. You don't want to do something that someone else has been doing it wants to be unique and original. And it's getting a lot harder to be unique and original nowadays, but you're finding a way to do it. And I know I don't know how superstitious you are. So haven't brought up NL Tout, but this is my impression of me looking at you and NL Tout. So we shall good luck with it there.
Thank you very much. Yeah, this is really fun. If Jeff needs to go on another family vacation, I'll recommend you for the driver's seat again.
And I just want to add people know that the camera I'm using does add a couple 100 pounds. So no. Anyway, all right, folks. Thanks for listening. Thanks for if you're unfortunately watching, why? But thank you. And Fred's a good looking guy.
I always say that by this point in the podcast, you can kind of say anything. If anyone's made it to this point in the podcast, they deserve anything they get to hear. Like once you kind of hit the wrap up part, most people are like, oh, that's good. I'm out. So if anyone's made it to the hour 07 mark right here, you deserve all the little puns and little jokes that come at the end of the episode.
Good, better, ugly. All right. Thanks a lot, Fred. Thanks for listening. And we'll catch up with you guys next week.